just pray the Lord will move tonight in confirmation of His Word. How many believe we need God tonight? Raise your hand if you feel you need God. You don't have to be a Christian to know that. You know you need God. Praise God. Direct your attention tonight for a scripture reading from the book of John. We're going to read from the 4th chapter of the book of John. Praise God. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Chapter 4 of John. We'll read tonight beginning with verse 12. Let's listen in. If you've ever eavesdropped, we're going to do a little eavesdropping tonight. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. How many are glad you got the water tonight that did not come from the well? Hallelujah! My preaching will be from the 4th chapter of John. My subject tonight, simply an interesting conversation. And you may be seated.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Let us commence our story tonight right from the beginning with verse number 1. Believe it or not, I can preach one God out of this first verse.
Amen.
When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. That looks like one's talking about number 2, but Trinitarians say L-O-R-D, little L-O-R-D, is talking about the second person of God. And yet here it said the Lord heard. When the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus, the Lord heard how Jesus.
Yes.
And yet we know Jesus, the Lord, the same one. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now, if you're a Bible student, you know that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And yet Jesus said he had to go through Samaria. He made a detour. He went out of his way. This wasn't on the program. Let me tell you something right off the crack of the bat. I thank God that the Lord made a detour to come by my house. I'm glad he took time out from making worlds and constellations and universes uncharted as yet to come by my house and talk to me. Amen? And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. That would be 12 o'clock noon, Jews reckoning from 6 in the morning. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, seeing that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Just how is it? Why do you ask drink of me? Well, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Here's the story. Jesus is resting on Jacob's well. The woman of Samaria comes up to drink and draw water. And Jesus looks at her and says, give me to drink. And she's startled. Why do you want me to give you to drink? I'm a woman of Samaria. Samaritans were people who, in their ancestorship, when the Jews came back from exile, they had intermarried with the natives who were heathens. Consequently, they were not what we would call pure Jews, or those whom the Lord would take delight in. And an Orthodox, old-fashioned Jew had nothing to do with the Samaritan. It was taboo. It was off-limits. It was a place, a country, a city, a town where you did not go. But Jesus went and had a conversation with the woman at the well. And when she looked at him and said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria, seeing that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he wouldest have given thee living water. Let me tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, I didn't deserve a drink at the well. I didn't deserve a touch from on high. I didn't deserve a visitation of the Spirit. I didn't deserve the moving of the Holy Ghost. I didn't deserve any good thing the Lord has ever done for me. But I'm so glad he came by my house. I'm so glad he went out of the way to talk to me. How about you raise your hand and wave it? Hallelujah. There's some of you sitting here tonight. The Lord God wants to visit. The devil has told you, you cannot have a supernatural experience. You cannot have a no-soul salvation. You cannot be released from some sort of a bad habit that has you bound. It is no use. Useless. Give up. Don't try anymore. But let me tell you, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that's here tonight, you hear this preacher, if you only knew that the Spirit we have felt here in this service tonight is the Lord of glory, and he wants to liberate your soul. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you an experience, thank you, Jesus, that was not from the well. All you got to do is ask. Well, Jesus said, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. I challenge you to ask God tonight. You that don't have the Holy Ghost, I challenge you from the deep of your heart. Say, God, I want it. Give it to me. You that need a touch in your body, I challenge you to stand on the scripture that said, with his stripes we are healed. Why don't you say, Lord, I need a touch, and see what he'll do tonight. I challenge you with problems in your life, perplexities in your soul, and storms in your mind. I challenge you in the valleys of despair. I challenge you that are caught up in the whirling rapids and know not which direction in life to take. I challenge you to ask him. He's got the answer. He's got the touch. He's got the anointing. He's got the solution. He is the panacea. He is the remedy. Oh, hallelujah! Why don't you ask him today? He would have given thee living water. Oh, hallelujah. The woman saith unto him, sir, the well is deep. Amen, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water. The well's deep and you got nothing to draw with. How are you going to get that water out of here anyhow? How are you going to do it? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? All she could think about was natural water and a natural well. And it was a long ways down to the well. And Jesus didn't have a rope. He didn't have a bucket. And how in the wide world was he ever going to solve this problem? Just who do you think you are anyhow, sir? And just what do you think you're talking about, sir? You've got nothing to do this with. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? This well's been here from antiquity. It's been here for centuries. Our fathers and their fathers and their fathers and their fathers ad infinitum did drink from this well. And who do you think you are to tell me you're going to get water without a bucket and without a rope and without any external evidences? Just what are you talking about? Oh, hallelujah. Listen, my Bible said Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Shall thirst again. I've drunk from many a good well with good, cool, quenching water that satisfied the natural thirst. But it wasn't long ago I was thirsty again. Oh, you know many of sinful pleasures that temporarily, for a while, in a transitory nature, gives you a little relief from life's monotonous routine. But you have to go back to the grind, to the rut, and face the harsh reality of tomorrow. But oh, my brother, I know a well that you can drink from tonight. I know a well that you can drink from tonight. You may thirst again from life's wells, but Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, shall be in him, shall be in him, a well of water springing up, springing up, springing up into everlasting life. You with the mournful looks on your faces, you whose faces are mirrors of discontent, you who nourish a blighted soul, you that don't know the sweet release of the Holy Ghost, you that are caught up in the web of the devil's intrigue, you that's never had a taste of this living water, you that's never known redemption's thrill, I got good news for you. You don't need a new bucket. Don't tell me you need a new bucket. You need a new well. Hallelujah! You need a new well. If you're tired of going to a church that is a well that has no water in it, if you're tired of letting empty buckets down to empty wells and drawing emptiness up, if you're tired of not feeling anything, I challenge you to try the Holy Ghost. It is the living water. It is the living water. It will satisfy. It will satisfy. Yeah. Oh. The water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Isaiah 12:3 said, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Wells, plural. When I'm sick, I put my bucket in the well of healing, and he touches me. When I'm discouraged, I put my bucket in the well of encouragement, and he encourages me. When I'm in the valley, I put my bucket, thank God, in the well, and he lifts me up. Oh, God, it said with joy. I don't think Christians ought to have perpetual frowns on their faces. I don't think so. I believe this will put running in your feet. It'll put shouting in your shoes, happening in your hands. Hallelujah! And it'll put joy, 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 joy. It'll put joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, let me tell you, with glee, with gladsome anticipation, with glory bells ringing in my soul, I anticipate a service. I'm like David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I come to church with joy, knowing I got a well to put my bucket in. And God's able, and he's willing to bless my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
Jesus said in John 7:37 through 39, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost is not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You can have a well, an artesian well, a perpetual bubbling up well. You can carry it home with you. Did you ever think about that? A portable well. You may live in a dry and dusty, barren land spiritually. You may work amidst profanity and pornography that is in their minds, and they may read all sorts of illicit, immoral things and do all kinds of things. But in the midst of dry, barren, in the midst of desolation, you got a well. Woo! You got a well. You got a well. You got a well. I know whereof I speak. I've worked in factories. I worked at Alcoa Aluminum one time. And I can remember many a time when the ingots, the aluminum ingots, were piled higher than this church house. And I could get back amidst that. Oh, it was a hustle-bustle factory. The clank of machinery, the choking of the smoke, and people that cursed and did every other kind of thing and talked about every other kind of thing. But I had a well right in that factory. I had a well right in that factory. You can have a well at home, a well at work, a well in your car, a well in your heart, a well on the highway, a well on vacation, a well when you're up, a well when you're down, a well when you're rich, a well when you're poor, a well when you're discouraged, a well when you're encouraged. Hallelujah! I got a well. Woo! Hallelujah! Aren't you glad you got a well tonight? Well, well, well. Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Wow. Isn't that wonderful what Jesus can do? Just raise your hand and wave it if you believe this preacher tonight. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I would to God, every one of you here without the Holy Ghost would say, give me this water. I would to God, every one of you discouraged would say, give me the bread of encouragement. I would to God, every one of you that's about to give up, every one of you that the devil has sold a bill of goods that God's blind and halt and maimed and God's asleep on a far journey, or God is buried in some lonesome universe and the epitaph on his tombstone says, here lies God. And the devil says, you're washed up, washed out. God's out of business. Pull the flaps down. Sell out spiritually. You're not going to make it. I would to God you'd say like this woman, give me this water. Give me this water! Give me this water! I would to God we could awaken a thirst. I would to God we could enliven an appetite. I would to God you'd climb over those benches and run down this aisle and you'd stand at this altar and say, Jesus, if you've done it for the woman, you'll do it for me. Here I am. Give me the water. Give me the water. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He'll do it. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.
Hallelujah.
Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. There's something about this Nazarene at the well. This Galilean with the dust baked on his sculptured chin. There's something about the penetrating gaze of this Galilean. He reads your heart.
Yes, he does.
Listen to me, brother. You're not hanging around any old kind of well tonight.
Uh-huh.
This is a well. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. And this is a God that knows everything about you.
Yes,
Jesus knew this woman. Knew her background, knew how many husbands she had, knew where she was born and where she lived. He knows your phone number, your address, and your zip code. Jesus knows everything about you. The very hair on your head's numbered, and you don't have to count too high for some of us either. The very hair on your head's numbered. He knows the steps you take. He knows when you come in and where you go out. Everybody believes that? Said amen. That woman's jaw dropped, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't no need of me trying to hide it.
Uh-huh.
She said, I've got five husbands.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, sir, Jesus, you're right. I got them. Jesus said, yea, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thou hast had five husbands.
Yeah.
I may be preaching to some multi-married individual here tonight. Well, 1 Peter 4:17 said, knowing the time that judgment must first begin at the house of God. It's time you brought you and your 93rd wife and come to this altar and get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's time that you forget and quit that philandering. It's time that you said, God, there's more to life than illicit immorality. There's more to life than honky-tonking and running around. There's more to life than making a mockery out of marriage. There's more to life than that. It's time you come down here and said, Jesus, give me the Holy Ghost and straighten my life out. Everybody said amen. I believe I got to talk on this just a little more.
Yeah.
You see, the Lord knows your heart tonight.
Right.
Hebrews 4, verse 12 and verse 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner. Everybody say discerner.
Discerner.
Of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What would you think if the Lord told you right now in front of everybody just where you've been and what you've done this past week? What would you think if the Lord suddenly rattled it off, maybe a man's hand rolled on the wall and told everything you thought this week that ran through your mind? What would you do if God suddenly said, I know you, you're hiding, you're keeping back, and wrote on the wall just what it is? Oh, there'd be a lot of us that would snap to attention, and there'd be a lot of us do a lot of repenting, and brother, what a revival we would have. I say, God, search our hearts. I say, God, ring us out. I say, God, examine us with the microscopic scrutiny of the Word of God. God, put me under the spiritual telescope. God, try me. See if I'm right in your sight. I want to make heaven my home. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So go run around here trying to say things not true. That woman could have said, well, you see, now Jesus, you heard it all wrong. That's just a rumor in the community.
Yeah.
That's just some bad gossip that got put out on me. Jesus looked right in her eyes and said, thou hast had five husbands.
Yeah.
And she looked right back and said, that's right, Lord, that's right. So, my, if your pedigree gets red, don't stomp out of here, man. Be thankful the Lord thinks enough of you to try to straighten your life out. He knows you. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Samuel went down to find a king. Now, I'm not going to tell the story, but the Lord told Samuel, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. David said in Psalms 139, verse 2, thou knowest my downsettings and mine uprising, and understandest my thought afar off. Some people, you know, they got to say, look deep in my eyes.
Yeah.
Or some hypnotic trance or crystal ball. Listen, my brother, I don't care where you are on the face of the earth, God knows your thoughts tonight. Amen! He knows your thoughts tonight! In John 2:25, the Bible said he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Matthew 9 and verse 4, Jesus perceiving their thoughts, he understood them. He knows me. He knows you. 1 Corinthians 1:24 said, Christ the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
Colossians 2 verse 3 said, in him dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. He knows it all. Revelation 2 verse 23, Jesus said, I, the Lord, search the reins and try the hearts. The apostles trying to choose a successor to Judas Iscariot prayed in Acts 1. Amen. And verse 24, they said, Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all men, so don't try to hide tonight. He knows how mean and low down and dirty and filthy and ungodly and lascivious and immoral and illicit and carnal and impotent and proud and stubborn and rebellious and no good and no count and unwashed and unkempt and unregenerate and blind and halt and maimed that you've been. He knows how you are. He knows that. He knows that. He knows it. The best thing you can do is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Well, you know what happened? The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Oh, fear God. You come to church and the Word of God tells you exactly what you are. And you say, someone must have told. No, my brother, the Word of God can find us all out. Yeah. Can find us all out. Everybody believes that, said amen.
Amen.
Everybody believes that, said praise the Lord. Well, the woman went on. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Oh, hallelujah. That word means he goes out and tries to find honest, sincere hearts to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe God's here tonight looking for worship, looking for praise, looking for adoration, looking for you to praise and lift up His wonderful name. Hallelujah! The Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. Everybody say, God's a spirit.
God's a spirit.
He's not your car. He's not your home. He's not your wife. He's not your husband. He's not your job or your fat bank account. He's not your intellectualism. He's not your books. He's not your meals. God is a spirit. He's not your hearing aid or your looking glasses. He's not your vacation. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Whoa, hallelujah. I believe that tonight with all of my heart. I believe that with all of my heart. Let me tell you who God is. God's a spirit. Ephesians 4:4 said there is one body and one spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 said, now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Right.
So the Lord's a spirit, and there's not but one spirit. 1 Corinthians 8:6 said, there is but one God, the Father.
Hallelujah.
Malachi 2:10 said, am not we all one Father? Hath not one God created us?
Uh-huh.
So there's not but one God, one spirit. Now then, one Lord? Who's the Lord? And we found out who God is. For the Lord's that Spirit, and the Spirit is God, and there's one Spirit. Acts 9, verse 5, Saul of Tarsus smitten down, looked up and said, who art thou, Lord?
Yeah.
And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I make a declarative pronunciation to you tonight that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. That He's the Father, He's the Son, and He's the Holy Ghost. That Jesus is God. Well, bless your heart. Colossians 1:27 calls Jesus the Holy Ghost. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Philippians 1:19 calls Him the Holy Ghost. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobates. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave Himself for me. And Galatians 4:6. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And Jesus came walking one day and said in John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in verse 20, Jesus said, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. 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 I've got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ.
Glory.
God is a spirit. I'm glad I know who God is, aren't you? I don't know why I want to touch on this a little extra tonight. I'm just going to take a few more moments to tell you. He is not what everybody thinks He is. Some people take every manifestation of God and make a God out of it.
Yeah.
Just because He was Father in creation, Son in redemption, Holy Ghost in the church, you can't make three persons out of it. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a preacher, a taxpayer, and all other kind of things, but that don't make me but all different individuals. I'm one. And Jesus Christ was a lot of things.
Right.
If the Lord wills, we will preach one night on the titles. And there are 1,157 plus.
Uh-huh.
And he's all of them, too. Yeah. Alpha and Omega, amen, angel, ancient of days, anointed apostle, apple tree, arm of the Lord, the finisher of our faith. Oh, babe, beginning of the creation of God, begotten of the Father, beloved, bishop, blessed, blameless, branch of righteous, bright dew, bright morning star, brightness of the Father's glory, bundle of earth, bundle of... Oh, I'm not going to get on it. But there's 1,150. These are titles. I can show you in Exodus 3, verse 4, God spoke to a burning bush. Does that make a bush God? I can show you, my brother, Numbers 22:28, God spoke to a donkey. Is a donkey God? I can show you in Psalms 18, verse 31, it said God's a rock. Does that mean that God is a boulder, is a granite piece? No. Jesus Christ said, or John said of Jesus in John 1:29, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Was he a four-footed beast? Verse 32 said the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove. Does that make the Holy Ghost a bird? Psalms 91, verse 4 said of God, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Is God a bird fluttering around in space? Amen! Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, I'm the door. Does that make him a door you open and shut? Jesus said in John 6:51, I'm the living bread. Is he a loaf of wholesome bread? Or is he a loaf of bread that you bake? Jesus, it was said in Revelation 4 and verse 5, the seven spirits of God. And it was said of Jesus in Revelation 5, verse 5, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Is he a lion? It calls him the root of David. Is he a root? Oh, my. These are all manifestations of the same one. One. God's a spirit.
Hallelujah.
How many have felt his spirit here tonight? Raise your hand. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's worship him in spirit and in truth in this revival. Let's have a revival. Let's have an apostolic revival. Let's have a Holy Ghost tongue-talking, divine healing revival. Let's have a miracle-working revival. Let's just don't come and sit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, the woman was still talking with him. The next verse said, the woman saith unto him, I know that when Messiah cometh, which is called Christ,
yes,
when he has come, he will tell us all things.
Yes.
Now, can you just imagine? What a conversation. Jesus sitting there at that well, looking over that woman. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Oh, glory. What is that?
Oh, my God. You and I may not comprehend the magnitude of that. Jesus was telling this woman he was the Messiah. He was God in the form of man. He was the one they were looking for. I that speak unto thee am he. What a revelation to a despised woman that had been married 5 times and living with another man in a despised land of Samaria. Jesus dropped a theological bombshell in her heart. I'm the Messiah. They call us the offscouring of the earth. We are people on the other side of the tracks and people with very little theological background. But we are connoisseurs and we are entrepreneurs and we are custodians of one of the greatest revelations this world has ever known. We know who Jesus is. We know who Jesus is. We know who Jesus is. Hallelujah! We know who Jesus is. Everybody said amen. Some of us been married 5 times, maybe living with another when we found the Lord. Thieves and bootleggers and bootblacks, ungodly, carnal drunkards, extortioners and revilers. But Jesus had a conversation with us one day, and he told me who he was. He told me who he was. I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" Or, "Why talkest thou with her?" I don't care how low down, how dirty, how ungodly. Invite them. Invite them. Jesus wants to talk with them. Jesus wants to talk with them.
Yeah.
They come up there. They marvel when he talked with the woman. Yet no man said. You know, they in a sense keep their lips shut because if Jesus is doing it, it's got to be all right.
Yeah.
And there's some of us maybe that would condemn certain segments of society. And I'm not talking ethnic talk either. I'm talking about people that are low down and no good, so-called.
Yeah.
Castaways, rejects, no hope for them, no use even inviting them. You don't know till Jesus talks with them. He can change everything.
Yeah.
Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Well, I said just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right.
No.
Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?"
Uh-huh.
The woman then left the water pot.
Yeah.
Forgot what she came for. And went her way into the city. And saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did."
Yeah.
Can you see that little girl? Can you see that little old woman? Can you see her putting down her water pot, running into the city, and telling all the men, "Come, see a man which told me everything that I did"? Is not this the Christ? Oh, I would to God we'd get that kind of enthusiasm.
Yes.
That kind of evangelical fervor. Would to God our hearts would get on fire like that. Would to God we'd get all prayed up like that. Come on now. Do we run everywhere in the highways and byways and tell people of Pine Bluff, "Come out here. Come out here and feel something you ain't never felt before. Feel something you ain't never felt before." I say it's the Holy Ghost. Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, the Bible said she left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. A steady stream of people started filing out of town to go to Jesus at the well. There's action down at the well. There's movement down at the well. Where it's at, down at the well. Something's going on down at the well. They got their saws and their hammers, their whitewash brushes. They got their brooms. And they come a-filing out of the doorways and the back alleys. A steady stream of them going down to the well to find out what's going on. Wouldn't you like to see that kind of revival? Whoa! Wouldn't you like to see that kind of revival? In the meanwhile, his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, eat." In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed and saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat. I have meat to eat, which you know not of." This revival, and I preach just a little bit long tonight, but I want to set the theme of it. It's not a talent showcase. This revival is not a dress parade. This revival is not a vacation. This revival is not just a thing to do and a place to go. We're here to do business with Jesus. And I want to see some action at the old well. Hallelujah! Everybody believes that? Raise your hand and say praise the Lord.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Well, he said, "I've got meat to eat that you know not of."
Yeah.
Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?"
Yeah.
Then Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work."
Hallelujah.
"Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest.
God.
Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest." You don't have much longer, my brother. Jesus is coming. Some of you, I've already discerned it, have a dilatory, putting off, delaying, procrastinating, waiting spirit.
Oh God.
Tonight may not bring it, but we've got tomorrow.
Yes.
The next revival and the next.
Huh?
Next year will accomplish what this year cannot do. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There's hungry souls out there. If you don't want the Holy Ghost, I pray somebody will take your place. Don't crowd the altar. Give someone a chance. If you don't want a revival, get out of the way. There's people that do. Quit your delaying. Sunday school teachers, pray up. Song leaders, choir members, pray up. It's time we hit the ground running. Let's have revival. Let's have revival. Let's have revival.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Everybody said praise the Lord tonight. Don't wait. Don't say later. Mm-hmm. Now is the time.
Now's the time.
Everybody said amen.
Amen.
And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal.
Hallelujah.
That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Oh God. Other men have labored and you're entered into their labors. Listen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 11, quickly, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you have believed. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I stand here tonight, and I say this with all honesty and candor and humility. Strip us of stained glass windows, and we can still preach the gospel. Strip us of our choir and our orchestra. Strip us of our personality, some Dale Carnegie exposés. Strip us of our intelligentsia, of our understanding that we have grasped through the finite mind. Let me tell you, there's but one thing going to make this go. If God doesn't give the increase, there's not going to be any. God don't give the increase, there won't be any. Jesus said that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I pray we have a 50 or 100 soul revival. If we do, I will not take the credit. Your pastor will not take the credit. We must all together share together. And we must give honor to those who have sowed the seed in the years ahead and behind. Those that blaze the trail. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I'm looking forward to that day on that celestial shore. For you see, we are reaping that which the apostles sowed. Oh God, I take no pride. What I have has been bequeathed to me by my spiritual ancestors. Thank God for Paul, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Andrew, Luke, Philip, Bartholomew, Timothy, Titus, Apollos, Silas. Thank God for the Apostolic Church. Thank God for Pentecost. Thank God for healing and the moving of the water of Jesus' name, baptism, and tongue talking. I'm reaping other men's souls, but I give him all the glory. Let's praise the Lord right now.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Listen, that's something. In the land of Samaria, despised, hated people, offscouring, scum of Jewish society. Jesus stayed 2 days.
Yes.
We're not told everything he said and did. What a beautiful stay it must have been. Aren't you glad Jesus came to your house one day?
Hallelujah.
And many more believed on him because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Have you heard him yourself tonight? Have you heard the voice of God? Are you glad he came by your house? Everyone that is, raise your hand and wave it. Are you glad he took time out of a busy schedule to knock on your heart's door? Are you glad he talked to you? Those of you here tonight that need to give your heart to God, I want you to come and have a conversation with Jesus. Let's stand together. Would you raise your hands and praise the Lord, everybody? Come on tonight. Say not 4 months, then cometh harvest. Come on. There's some lukewarm people here tonight, I've already felt, that need to be in this altar. Some of you need to get fired up and prayed up. Come tonight. Come on tonight. Come on and consecrate your life to Jesus.
Oh, do not wait.
Sing it with us if you know it.
It's growing.
They sang this song with every head bowed and every eye closed.
It's harvest
time. Jesus wants to have a talk with you tonight.
The day is
falling. Jesus wants to talk with your heart.
The grain is falling.
He knows everything you've been and where you've lived.
Oh, do not.
I wonder tonight.
It's growing.
I wonder if you would raise your hand for prayer. And say, church, pray for me. God bless you, mother. God bless you, young lady. Are there others tonight? God knows your heart. God bless you. Are there others tonight? God bless you. Are there others? Raise your hand right now. Raise it up high. God bless you, son. Say not 4 months and then cometh harvest. Tonight's your night. Hallelujah. Are there others tonight? I want every head to remain bowed. Saints of God, they raised their hands for prayer. Jesus is here. Heaven is waiting. Right now, while we're standing where we're at, let's pray for them right now. God knows who raised their hands. Would you pray for them right now? Hallelujah. My God, have mercy. Your mama. Could be your son or your daughter.
Oh, do not wait.
Oh, God.
Do not.
Now I want you to do something else. I want everybody to raise their hand and lay it on someone's shoulder next to you right now.
Behold,
lay your hand on someone's shoulder next to you. Come on. Now I want you to pray for one another right now. Pray for revival.
It's harvest time.
Pray for revival.
Harvest time.
Pray. want to ask tonight while every head is... I want to ask tonight while every head is still bowed and she sings this softly. You that raised your hands and anyone else that would care to. God's talked to some people here tonight. You may not be where you ought to be. You see, the disciples told Jesus in John 16:30, "Now we know, Lord, that thou knowest all things." All things. See, God knows everything.
Oh, dude.
Would you that raise your hands, would you just come and stand down here so we could pray with you for a few minutes? Would you come right now, you that raised your hands? Come on. And anybody else that feels their need. That feels their need. Come on, as she sings. Come on, young lady. Come on, young lady. Come on. Mean business tonight.
It's harvest time.
Come on. Come on. Come on, young lady. That's right. Come on.
It's harvest time.
Come on, mama. Come on.
The Savior's come.
Come and stand with us and pray a while. Are there others tonight?
Oh,
are there others tonight? Are there others tonight?
It's growing light.
Oh, God. Are there others tonight?
All the fields are white. It's hard.
This will be the last time. Sing it one more time. That's
it's harvest time.
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest.
It's harvest time.
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Come on.
The Savior's calling.
First of all, tonight, those of you in the church, you know you need to get closer to God to come first right now. Come first right now. Come on. There's several of you tonight. I feel that. You know you need to get close to God. You come on first. Then the rest of us that will, I want you to come. Let's pray with these that have come down here to pray. Gather around these that have come down here to pray. You back there, would you kneel at your seat and pray? Thank you, Jesus. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord.